Well, it's Monday. It's July the 10th, day 191 in our journey through the Bible. Welcome to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and this is the Daily Radio Bible. Every day on this podcast, we take a little time in God's Word. More important than that, we let God's Word take a little time on us. And oh, how we need that. No doubt about that. And today we're going to do that very thing in the book of Micah, chapters 5 through 7. And then we finish our reading in Hebrews chapter 7. We are reading through the New Living Translation. What do you say we just get down to business here and open up our hearts to God's Word in Micah chapter 5? Mobilize. Marshal your troops. The enemy is laying siege to Jerusalem. They will strike Israel's leader in the face with a rod. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land. And he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, and he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace. When the Assyrians invade our land and break through our defenses, we will appoint 7 rulers to watch over us, 8 princes to lead us. They will rule Assyria with drawn swords and enter the gates of the land of Nimrod. He will rescue us from the Assyrians when they pour over the borders to invade our land. Then the remnant left in Israel will take their place among the nations. They will be like dew sent by the Lord, or rain falling on the grass, which no one can hold back and no one can restrain. The remnant left in Israel will take their place among the nations. They will be like a lion among the animals of the forest, like a strong young lion among the flocks of sheep and goats, pouncing and tearing as they go, with no rescue in sight. The people of Israel will stand up to their foes, and all their enemies will be wiped out. In that day, says the Lord, I will slaughter your horses and destroy your chariots. I will tear down your walls and demolish your defenses. I will put an end to all your witchcraft, and there will be no more fortune tellers. I will destroy all your idols and sacred pillars, so you will never again worship the work of your own hands. I will abolish your idol shrines with their Asherah poles and destroy your pagan cities. I will pour out my vengeance on all the nations that refuse to obey me. Micah 6. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Stand up and state your case against me. Let the mountains and hills be called to witness your complaints. And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. He has a case against his people. He will bring charges against Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? Answer me. For I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from slavery. I sent Moses and Aaron and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember my people? How King Balak of Moab tried to have you cursed, and how Balaam son of Beor blessed you instead? And remember your journey from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, when I, the Lord, did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow down before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Fear the Lord if you are wise. His voice calls to everyone in Jerusalem. The armies of destruction are coming. The Lord is sending them. What shall I say about the homes of the wicked, filled with treasures gained by cheating? What about the disgusting practice of measuring out grain with dishonest measures? How can I tolerate your merchants who use dishonest scales and weights? The rich among you have become wealthy through extortion and violence. Your citizens are so used to lying that their tongues can no longer tell the truth. Therefore, I will wound you. I will bring you to ruin for all your sins. You will eat, but never have enough. Your hunger pains and emptiness will remain. And though you try to save your money, it will come to nothing in the end. You will save a little, but you will give it to those who conquer you. You will plant crops, but not harvest them. You will press your olives, but not get enough oil to anoint yourselves. You will trample the grapes, but get no juice to make your wine. You keep only the laws of evil King Omri. You follow only the example of wicked King Ahab. Therefore, I will make an example of you, bringing you to complete ruin. You will be treated with contempt, mocked by all who see you. Micah 7. How miserable I am! I feel like the fruit picker after the harvest, who can find nothing to eat. Not a cluster of grapes or a single early fig can be found to satisfy my hunger. The godly people have all disappeared. Not one honest person is left on the earth. They are all murderers, setting traps even for their own brothers. Both their hands are equally skilled at doing evil. Officials and judges alike demand bribes. The people with influence get what they want, and together they scheme to twist justice. Even the best of them is like a briar. The most honest is as dangerous as a hedge of thorns. But your judgment day is coming swiftly now. Your time of punishment is here, a time of confusion. Don't trust anyone, not your best friend or even your wife. For the son despises his father and the daughter defies her mother. The daughter-in-law defies her mother-in-law. Your enemies are right in your own household. As for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently to God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me. Do not gloat over me, my enemies. For though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I will be patient as the Lord punishes me, for I have sinned against him. But after that, he will take up my case and give me justice for all I have suffered from my enemies. The Lord will bring me into the light, and I will see his righteousness. Then my enemies will see that the Lord is on my side, and they will be ashamed that they taunted me, saying, "So where is your God? That God of yours, with my own eyes I will see their downfall. They will be trampled like mud in the streets. In that day, Israel, your cities will be rebuilt and your borders will be extended. People from many lands will come and honor you, from Assyria all the way to the towns of Egypt, from Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River, and from distant seas and mountains. But the land will become empty and desolate because of the wickedness of those who live there. O Lord, protect your people with your shepherd's staff. Lead your flock, your special possession. Though they live alone in a thicket on the heights of Mount Carmel, let them graze in the fertile pastures of Bashan and Gilead, as they did long ago. Yes, says the Lord, I will do mighty miracles for you, like those I did when I rescued you from slavery in Egypt. All the nations of the world will stand amazed at what the Lord will do for you. They will be embarrassed at their feeble power. They will cover their mouths in silent awe, deaf to everything around them, like snakes crawling from their holes. They will come out to meet the Lord our God. They will fear him greatly, trembling in terror at his presence. Where is another God like you, who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? You will not stay angry with your people forever, because you delight in showing unfailing love. Once again, you will have compassion on us. You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. You will show us your faithfulness and unfailing love, as you promised to our ancestors Abraham and Jacob long ago. Hebrews chapter 7. Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem and also a priest of God Most High. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means King of Justice, and King of Salem means King of Peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Now the law of Moses requires that the priests, who are descendants of Levi, must collect a tithe from the rest of the people of Israel, who are also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham. And Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham, the one who had already received the promise of God. And without question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who is blessed. The priest who collect tithes are men who die, so Melchizedek is greater than they are, because we are told that he lives on. In addition, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collect the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. For although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. So if the priesthood of Levi, on which the law was based, could have achieved the perfection God intended, why did God need to establish a different priesthood with a priest in the order of Melchizedek instead of the order of Levi and Aaron? And if the priesthood is changed, the law must also be changed to permit it. But the priests we are talking about belong to a different tribe, whose members have never stood at the altar as priests. What I mean is, our Lord came from the tribe of Judah, and Moses never mentions priests coming from that tribe. This change has been made very clear since a different priest, who is like Melchizedek, has appeared. Jesus became a priest, not by meeting the physical requirements of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Yes, the old requirement about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law never made anything perfect. But now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. This new system was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath. But there was an oath regarding Jesus. For God said to him, "The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever, therefore he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as the sacrifice for the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. And now may the Son, the perfect high priest, give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. How much is enough? How much do I owe? What's it going to take to settle up with my past, with my regrets, with my shame? How much should I pay for the wrong that I've done? How much is it going to cost me for the pain that I've caused? How much is enough? What's it going to take to pay for our sins? That's the question that Micah poses. Here in chapter 6, verse 7, he says, "What's it going to take to pay for my sin? What should I bring to God? Should I bring him burnt offerings? Should I bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should I offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should I sacrifice my firstborn child to pay for my sins? He says. What's it going to take? What does God want? He tells us what he wants in the next verse, in verse 7. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There you have it. That's what it's going to take. Not 10,000 rivers of olive oil, not thousands of rams sacrificed, not even the sacrifice of your firstborn child, no. Something far more simple. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That's what it's going to take. And as sublime and poetic as that sounds, well, there's a problem. There's a problem with this poetry because I can't do it. If it's going to take me doing what is right, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God, if that's the price, well, then I can't pay that price, because apart from God, I do not do what is right. And apart from God, I have not been one who loves mercy. And I have not walked humbly with God. In fact, all of us, we all don't meet that standard. That's the problem. See, Adam, he didn't walk humbly with God. And all the sons of Adam have not walked humbly with God. They have not loved mercy. They have not done right. We have all sinned and fallen short. But praise be to God, there is one person, there is one man, a priest in the order of Melchizedek, who has not fallen short. That is Jesus, our Savior and our Messiah, our High Priest. He is the one who has done what is right. He is the one who has loved mercy. He is the one who has done justly. He is the one who has walked humbly with God his Father. He's the one who has paid the price for our sin. Here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, we hear that unlike those other high priests, he, our Jesus, does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this because of their own sins and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus, he offers himself once and for all as a sacrifice for the people's sins. What's it going to take to pay for our sins? That's the question that Mike wants to know the answer to. And the answer is Jesus, the only one who has done what is right, the only one who has loved mercy and justice and walked humbly with God, the only one that has offered the perfect sacrifice for my sin, for your sin, for our sins. And because of what he's done, my friend, we can rest easy. The price has been paid. And now we can walk humbly with him each day, because his Spirit now abides in you. And we can begin to live the with God life, no longer having to pay the price. No, the price has been paid once and for all, and we can begin walking with our God. That's the prayer of my own heart, for my own soul, that I will walk with my God because the price has been paid. That's a prayer that I have for my family too, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. DailyRadioBible.com, that's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs. And it is always such a blessing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. Speaking of that, I got a whole lot of folks here that I want to send a shout out to. To Beth Grossman, to Amy Reynolds Merchant, to Charles Roberts, to Joanne Polarek, Cordell Black, and to Kate Banner. And to all of you, as a matter of fact, can't believe that we get to do this together, and it's something that I truly do cherish and love. Hey, here's something I would love for you to do, and that would be this, to share the app with your friends. We've made it so very simple. All you have to do is click on the icon there on the app itself that says share the app, and away you go. Share the app. It's free, and there are people out there who are hungry for the Word of God, and this might be just the thing that they're looking for. Another thing that I would love for you to do is to go to the iTunes Store or Google Play and offer us up a review. Would you go there and review the Daily Radio Bible podcast and app? Rate, review, and subscribe. And this is a great way to help the ministry. It helps us to show up higher on the rankings so that people find this podcast a little bit easier. So go to iTunes or the Google Play Store and subscribe, rate, and review the app and podcast of the Daily Radio Bible. Thank you very much for that. And hey, another thing I'd love for you to do is this. Sign up for our email newsletter. We've got one coming up here in this month of July. And in it, you'll find information about our upcoming trip to the Holy Land. Speaking of that, you can get that information right now simply by going to dailyradiobible.com and clicking on the link there for the Holy Land. You can begin the registration process right now, this very day. We're headed back for our third annual trip. April the 2nd through the 11th, I believe, are the dates. And man, I would love to have you come along. And last of all, if you would like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, that is so appreciated and so needed. This ministry does not happen without partners, people like you who come alongside and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. And if that's you, thank you so much. And you can do that simply by going to dailyradiobible.com, clicking on the partner link, or right from the app itself. Same thing there, just click on the donate link. Or if you're old school and you want to mail your gift in, you can mail it to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Hey, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here, smack dab behind this makeshift desk in the basement of my house, here in the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio, right here in the heartland. Your brother Hunter coming to you right from the heart. Well, hey, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All right, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.